Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. I'm Tim Blevins, lead pastor, and I'm honored you have come to join us. To experience our full service or for more information, check out the links in the description. I hope this message ministers to you and helps you find life in Jesus.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. He is alive. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. Even better. Even better. Also, for our church, it's happy annual dress up for church day. So, like we never look this good, but y'all look great today. I'm telling you what. Listen, I even got on my best duds today as well. Next week, I'm going t-shirt. I'll tell you, I'm through with the coats. I like, we got to look at somebody beside you and go, man, you look good. Yeah, they look good. It's a good day. Well, I'm glad you're here today. If you're a guest with us, we're honored you came to be with us. It's a special day to celebrate our Christ who is risen. And I just want to enter into a moment of prayer as we get started. Father, thanks for this day. Thank you that your presence is here as we worshiped you in that part of our service, God. And we just want to lift our hearts to you and just celebrate and just be so grateful that Jesus is alive, that he is not in that tomb, and he is alive. And because he is alive, we are alive. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we just are here to grow and learn and experience more of your presence as I preach, God. So let my words be your words today as much as possible. In the name of Jesus, amen, church. Amen, amen. Easter is the culmination of Holy Week. We talked about that in Palm Sunday, and we went through Holy Week. We had an amazing service Friday night. If you were able to be with us, or Friday afternoon, if you were able to be with us for the Good Friday service, it was special, it was meaningful, and we had a very full church that day, and so it was just so great. And we remembered the death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it was like a moment to feel it. It was more heavy for us. It was just a way of reflection on what he went through. And as we were there on that Friday, just reflecting on that, you could feel it. You could just understand the depth a little bit better of what he went through on that cross. And so Good Friday helps us to appreciate Easter Sunday. Before I jump to Sunday and we celebrate he is risen, I just want us to take a moment and reflect on Saturday. So you had a Friday and Sunday, but Sunday had some significance because of the tomb. And we're going to take a look at the tomb in a minute and just talk a little bit about the tomb that he was in and how that is part of the Easter story. And so let's go to the book of John chapter 19 as we get started. This says that later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. Now, just real quick, he was part of the religious leaders of that day, the body of religious leaders. And it were out of his body of religious leaders that were part of those that were condemning Jesus. And they were the ones that wanted him crucified because they believed that he was preaching blasphemy and saying that he was the Son of God and he had the power to forgive sins. And so out of that religious body, they called for his crucifixion. Joseph, though, in the middle of all that, was a believer. He believed in Jesus to be who he claimed to be, but he was keeping it a secret. Now, listen, in some capacity, about like, you know, kind of man up, buddy. You know, you can just step out. But, you know, I mean, they just put Jesus to death. And so, you know, to man up might mean your death. So I can relate a little bit. But he was the one here that says that he went and he asked for Jesus's body. He said, with Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. And so I think there was just a moment he's like, I'm going to have to step out. There's something so significant about Jesus that I can't keep this secret. So he found a buddy, and it says that he was accompanied by Nicodemus. Now, this was the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night in secret. So we have two guys that were trying to be close to Jesus. They believed in Jesus, but they were keeping it a secret. And then it says Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe that was about 75 pounds. Now just imagine 75 pounds of oil and spices. So that's a lot. I mean, that's like, I don't know. It like you didn't just walk out, you know, down the street with 75 pounds, you know. They didn't put that in their back pocket and go, hey, we're gonna secretly go Jesus. There came a moment that they realized that to serve and to worship Jesus, they were gonna have to walk down the middle of a street with 75 pounds of aloe, and they were gonna have to declare to the world, we believe in this man that gave his life, and they stepped out in courage in the middle of a season of persecution. Amen. I believe they took so much oil. It was way more than needed for a burial. I believe they took so much because they really wanted to demonstrate their worship and their honor of who Jesus was. So verse 40 says, they took Jesus' body, the two of them, they wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs, and at that place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid because it was the Jewish day of preparation. Just mark that in your mind, day of preparation. I'll get back to that later. But it says, since this was a Jewish day of preparation and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So, have you ever seen the tomb? Have you ever seen a picture of what the tomb might look like? Let's put that on the screen for just a moment. So this would be a replica of the tomb that Jesus was laid in. Now, we don't know for sure if that was the exact tomb, but it was something like this. Now, to give context to this tomb, the Jewish leaders had known that Jesus had proclaimed that in 3 days he would be risen back to life. He had proclaimed that and they knew that story. They knew the disciples were hanging on this as in hopes, and of course they were in their own doubts, but that was the story. And so the religious leaders that crucified Jesus, they wanted to be sure that the disciples didn't break into this tomb and steal his body and fake his resurrection and then go around and tell everybody it was true. They wanted to be sure that that couldn't happen. Listen, the religious leaders, they wanted to cancel Easter, right? So what they did is they partnered with the government at that time. They went to Pilate and they said, Pilate, we can't let them steal Jesus's body. We can't let the truth of who he is come out of that tomb. That we can't let that happen. And so now the religious leaders were partnering with the government, and the government said, good, we'll help you cancel Easter. Does that sound a little familiar today? Listen, I'm not gonna go there long. I can't, not today. It's not the best, not the appropriate day, but I am disappointed in our government today. I am disappointed. They sent an email out or a letter out for their Easter egg hunt, and it's today. And they said, hey, no religious symbols whatsoever. They claim today to be a day for transgender day. And so listen, government's trying to cancel Easter here too, right? But I'm here to tell you, you cannot cancel Jesus Christ. All around the world, we're gonna gather and we're gonna celebrate and we're gonna worship. And we know that Jesus came to cancel death, and all who believe in Jesus Christ, they shall be saved and they shall have everlasting life. So I don't care what our government does. That's not my business today. I'm here in church with a bunch of people are saying, you can't cancel my Savior, and he is to be worshiped, and here we are, amen? I'll save my political thoughts for another day. Let's get back to the tomb. So listen, they didn't want Jesus to come out of that tomb because that would validate the story of Jesus. And so what they did is they took this tomb that these two men had taken Jesus, and they took this heavy stone that looked like a wheel, and they rolled that in front of the tomb. Now, consider the size of that opening, big enough that someone could walk in with just a lean over. And so it was pretty big. So the stone had to be huge that could roll in front of that. Now, I don't know how heavy a stone of that size would be. I don't know what that would weigh, but I have a feeling a lot, like a whole lot. And so they wanted something so significant that as it was rolled in front of the tomb, that a group of disciples couldn't show up in the middle of the night and roll that thing back, all right? So they said, let's be sure that stone is heavy. Also on this tomb, there was a slope that was sloping this direction. So they could easily roll it in front of the tomb, but to roll it back up that hill, up that slope, would have been virtually impossible for anybody with their own strength to move that stone. They're like, we don't want anything coming out of that tomb. So they weren't finished. Because they had partnered with the government, they said to the government, hey, would you please send four of your soldiers and stand at guard at least for 3 days to be sure that those disciples don't sneak over and somehow move that stone. So they put four guards there. Then they said, and we want you to seal that stone. So they took wax and they sealed the stone and they put the stamp of the Roman government on it. And the government was saying, hey, nobody's coming out of this grave. I just think it's fascinating that every human thing possible to stop what God wants to do. Everything that was humanly impossible was there. It was a setup by God. They thought that they were doing something that would keep Jesus in the tomb. But the reality was it was a setup by God. God was using their hand to prove that there is only one God who has the power, the miraculous power to can come and roll away a stone, break a seal, and raise a man from death to life. And it was a setup because now no human person could have done it. They thought they were gonna cancel Jesus, but God said, no way. I have the power to break through and I can move the stones that are in the way, and he is alive. Amen. Amen. So, just one thought for you today. You may be in a situation that feels like an impossible space for you. You may have a promise that's there. You may have something in your life that you're like, I've been praying for this, and it seems humanly impossible. It feels like the seal has been placed over your promise, and it's not gonna come forth. I wanna encourage you today. And just like we're gonna talk about Jesus coming out of that tomb, I want you to know that God has the power in whatever is happening in your life that seems impossible to make it possible because of him. Amen? So, the tomb, secured, sealed. No way, only God. The stage was set. God was prepared. Preparation day. God was prepared. They were still trying to figure it out and prepare. God, like, I got this. God wasn't worried. Heaven was prepared for Jesus to be resurrected back to life, demonstrating that the power of God is real and He proved that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I'm changing that for third service. Proved. Authenticating. It's in there. It's in there. Listen, you don't need the smartest pastor. You just need a pastor with the Holy Spirit. That's all you need, all right? Amen. So, you ready to go forward now? You all right? Luke 24. I love it. I love my church. I love preaching. Luke 24:1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared. Everybody's trying to prepare for something. They're like, we got to do this and we got to do this. And God's got this. And so they went to the tomb. They found the stone had now been rolled away from the tomb. So when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, I think that's an interesting thought, wondering. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, they bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Amen. He said, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. He would be crucified and on the third day be raised again. And so church, I'm just here to preach a real simple message to you that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. And I love the story of the tomb because it demonstrates that it is only by a miraculous, powerful God that we have Easter today. It is a demonstration that there isn't any earthly or natural human effort that can squelch what God wants to do. And we're here on Easter Sunday celebrating the fact that what was dead is now alive. He was dead is now alive. The tomb was sealed and now it is broken. And I'm just so grateful that we have a Savior that is alive and that the stone couldn't secure him and the government couldn't cancel him and the guards couldn't guard him and Satan couldn't stop him and death couldn't defeat him. Amen? That's why we're here today, to celebrate our resurrected Jesus. The stone has been rolled away, the grave clothes have been taken off, and the seal of death has been broken. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. So the empty tomb, it proved, validated that only God could do this. And when we think about our salvation, it's an only God thing. You think about the tomb, only God could have done that. Some of the situations that you're in, you need an only God moment in your life. Some of you are walking through the pains and the difficulties and you need an only God miracle, because there's some things that no one else can satisfy or fix for you in your life, and you need to have an only God God. You need to have a God that knows how to roll stones away. You need to have a God who can raise the dead to life. You need to have a God that can see the pain and understand the promise, and he can prepare you and get you to where he wants you to be. Yes. Resurrection day. Here's what I want you to know about Easter. I'm gonna go real quick. It begins on Friday. We celebrated or we reflected on the cross. Without the cross, sin always leads to death. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6, 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, it's a penalty. Sin carries a penalty with it, a punishment with it, severe to death. Meaning there's complete separation from God. There is no hope in our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus' death on the cross was for the wages or the punishment for our sin. He hadn't sinned. He wasn't paying the price for his sin. He was paying the price for mine and your sin. And the cross is where Jesus paid for that sin, and he was crucified and died as that payment. He took the punishment that you and I deserved upon himself so that we can be free from that sin and free from that punishment. He did that on Friday. And on Sunday, God resurrected Jesus back to life. If Jesus hadn't been raised back to life, church, if he was still there, if the stone was there, if there was like this memorial, what if there had been like, what if you could go to Jerusalem today and you go to see, here's the tomb and here's the rock and here's the seal, and you would walk up and go, we almost had a Savior. What if it was just a memorial of a grave? What if it was just an inscription, here lays the man who lied and told us he was the Son of God and could forgive sin, but he's still there. What if that was still reality? But it's not, because the stone was rolled The seal was broken. And without the resurrection, death would have been final. It would have been final in your life. It would have been final in Jesus' life. It would have been final for our following of Jesus. All of that would have been final. We would have been no hope. There would have been no place for us to find our security and our comfort. There wouldn't be no promise of everlasting life. Listen, he was raised to life to demonstrate and show me and you that there is life after death for us. I really would hate to think that all we had in life was I'm born, I went through some hardships, had a few celebrations, and died. That would be like, I mean, no wonder that it's people have the mentality of just drink and eat and live and die. That's hopelessness. But the tomb is empty. He's resurrected back to life. The Bible says this, and I close. John 11:25 says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And I want you to look at that last line. It says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is the message of hope for us. This is the conclusion of Holy Week, the conclusion of Jesus' life, that he died for our sins and was resurrected back to life. And the invitation is for anyone who would believe that shall be saved, and their sins would be forgiven, and they would have eternal life, life after death. You would have a new place of hope in your life. You wouldn't live a futile life of just, I get up, I go to work, I go home, and just cycle till it's over. No, you live with this hope. You live with a purpose. You live with eternity in your heart. And that comes by believing in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. He paid the punishment for you so that you are forgiven, and he rose to life so you can believe that you have life after death. Do you believe? Today may be a day for you to say, yes, I believe. And I believe the day of preparation has been in your life, because Jesus has already gone to the cross and he has already paid the price. We live in that day of preparation until we believe in his resurrection, until we believe it. And so he has died for your sins, and the question is, do you believe it? Without believing, it doesn't appropriate in your life. But if you believe it, then your sins are forgiven, and you believe that he was resurrected back to life, then you are given the promise of everlasting life, eternity. And so I want to offer this moment for you just to simply believe. Would you bow your heads? Father, I pray for those that are here. I believe you've been preparing hearts, God, for this moment. And I pray that those who have never made a decision to follow you, this would be their moment. God, I ask that you would just begin to gently nudge on their heart and say, this is your moment to believe. Your life has been in preparation for this moment. And if that's you today and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, this is a very private and personal decision. No one's looking at you. This is a me and you. I'm your pastor in this moment. If you want to believe in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior today, would you just lift your hand to me real high? I'd love to see your hand. Love to see your hand. God bless you. I see you in the middle. God bless you. I see you on the right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see you in the back. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, he came to earth. He died for my sins. He was laid in a tomb. Thank you, Father, you resurrected him back to life. I believe in Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been thinking about what life would have been like if Jesus had not come out of that tomb. I've just been wondering, what if his heart didn't beat again? What if the death was final? How hopeless it would be. How chaos our world would be. How chaos my world would be. For a moment, I want you just to consider his heart at flatline and let this song minister to you.